Hey there, I'm Kendra Adachi, and my show, The Lazy Genius Podcast, helps you be a genius about the things that matter and lazy about the things that don't, and you get to decide what matters. I'm not here to tell you what to do. I'm here to give you a new way to see. Episodes of The Lazy Genius Podcast are full of compassionate time management tips and permission slips to do what makes sense for you. New episodes drop every Monday. Follow and listen to The Lazy Genius Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to the Bart Winkler Show podcast.
Good evening, everybody. Welcome to the Bart Winkler Show. I am Bart Winkler, 888-710-4ISN, 888-710-4476. It is a Friday edition of the program as we head into the weekend. This is a big weekend in Major League Baseball. You may not think it is. It may not feel like it is, but it is. It is. There are going to be some teams that are really playing hot, playing well, and want to keep this thing moving. But there's also going to be some teams, some bad, some in the middle, some even some of the good teams that they see Sunday night as the start of their vacation. They see Sunday night as that night and then 4 days off. Now, some are going to go to the All-Star game, yes, or the Home Run Derby, sure. But there's a lot of guys who are going to be able to, for at least 4 days, get away from baseball. For 4 days, they are going to be able to not have to be at work. The longest break they get in the entirety of the season is on the horizon. And some teams just, you know, when you're in a race, you're supposed to run through the tape. Sometimes when you start learning how to run, you like slow down at the finish line. You got to run through the finish line. Some teams do not do that when it comes to baseball. Some teams see that nice vacation in front of them and they kind of take their feet off the gas a little bit, or they have their eye on that vacation. So, look, baseball, there's 162 of these games. 162 games. They all count the same. Every game counts the same as the last one. That's why, you know, you look at some of these games and you might say, oh, man, that was a tough extra innings loss. We're going to remember this specific game come standings time, come the end of the season time. Maybe we're one back of a division. What if we won that game? Maybe we're one out of a playoff. What if we won that game? Those, I think, tend to balance out. Those tend to balance out. There's going to be games that are like, yeah, geez, if we could have had this one. There's also going to be games that you come back when maybe you didn't think that you would. There'll be those kind of games too. So I think over the course of the season, the 162 really does tell you what kind of team you are. And sure, we could always do revisionist history, but for the most part, every single game counts the same. The exception for me would be this weekend. The exception for me would be this weekend where you have teams that, again, are thinking of vacation and thinking of 4 days off and just kind of don't show up to work the way that they maybe should. Now, I'm looking at how teams have been playing this last week. I think the biggest one, but they've been playing competitive games. They haven't gotten blown out every game. But the Dodgers are on a six-game losing streak right now. The L.A. Dodgers, who still have a five-game lead over the Giants, but this is not a way that you want to head into the break. They have the Giants tonight. That'll be interesting to see how the Dodgers play in that one. And then you're watching some of these other series. Like, are there teams that are going to fall against teams that they should be beating? You have the Tigers getting waxed by the Mariners tonight. It's 12-3 there. I'm not saying that they're taking their foot off the gas. I'm looking. Okay. I see the Cubs lose 11-0 to the Yankees. I'm just looking. I'm looking for instances because I've seen it. You know, with the Milwaukee Brewers, who I root for, I'm not talking about the Brewers. I'm very specific of this. I am just mentioning them as it relates to the anecdote, because there was like maybe two, but maybe three straight years where they had the Pirates at the end of the first half and they got swept. I mean, there was one series they lost five games. There was a doubleheader in there, a makeup. They lost a five-game series to the Pirates heading into the break. And we talked to those guys in the locker room after, and they said without saying, like, you know, yes, that is a carrot. That is a carrot in front of us, and you think about that carrot. So that's just something that I'm looking at. That's just something that we'll kind of monitor tonight a little bit, over the weekend, maybe come back in on Monday and see where there's some teams that put their foot off the gas. Or there's some teams that kind of lightened up a little bit because they see this vacation coming up here. So we'll see. It's different than any other, you know, sport. There is an all-star break, sure, but these guys play essentially every day. And if they get a day off, what are they doing with it? A travel day? Rarely happens sometimes, but rarely teams do get a day off in the season. And I'm telling you, the time that if it's like a Wednesday game and you play in the afternoon at home for getaway day, and then you don't play till Friday at night, I mean, that could be 48 hours of not having a game. That feels like a summer vacation for some of these guys. And that's always the weirdest as a fan, because as a fan, there's like levels of fandom that you reach throughout the course of a year. And sometimes you'll just like kind of float and follow your team. You know, maybe you're busy with something or you're out of town, you're on a work trip, whatever. But then there's like another level that you can sort of get into where you are watching that team every night. You are living and dying with every pitch. And when you get into that mode, when you unlock that level, that day game, off day, don't play again until night the next day, that seems like a long time as a fan. And we're just sitting on our asses watching these guys play. But that seems like a long time as a fan. So just something to monitor here before the All-Star break, with the Derby coming up on Monday and the game itself coming up on Tuesday. Plenty to talk about regarding those events next week, and we will. We certainly will. But I do think that there's still some tweaks that Major League Baseball can make. And next hour, I want to kind of look at, I'm big into schedules, and I've kind of floated and talked about different sports, and I want to get it all out at once. I want to try to figure out what do we need to change about these schedules. The thing that makes me the most upset about scheduling, more than anything, and this is kind of what's going to trigger the conversation a little bit later, is the WNBA playoffs and when they hold the finals. You can't be one of the, like in the summer, what's on consistently? Major League Baseball, WNBA, MLS. Okay, and for some of you, the back two of those, you don't pay any attention to. But WNBA does sort of pick up some steam throughout the summer, and then the playoffs start, and then, I mean, as soon as football, even with our baseball teams, you could unlock that level of, oh yeah, we're into baseball, baby. But then as soon as that first week one of football hits, and there's a Thursday night game, that opener, and then a Friday night game now, and then, I mean, you check the score. You got it on your phone. You got it on your small screen. So if you're like that with the team that you've been following all summer, what do you like for a league that, you know, you pay a little bit of attention to as you can? So that's kind of what's going to trigger that. We'll get into that a little bit later here tonight on a Friday edition into Saturday for most of you of the Bart Winkler Show. 888-710-4ISN, 888-710-4476. I just wanted to go through some of that stuff. I didn't want to come out right away and say the words LeBron James. I want to talk about LeBron James. I just didn't want to say, hi, nice to meet you, LeBron James. But LeBron James is in the news again today, sort of because of some of the writing from Ramona Shelburne and Brian Windhorst over at ESPN.com, where they're chronicling the Lakers' transition from LeBron James to Luka Doncic, one superstar to another. I'll just give you the start of this article at ESPN. They're talking about this restaurant in West Hollywood. And if you don't want to be seen, you go through the back. Otherwise, the paparazzi's are always there in the front. It's Craig's Restaurant on Melrose Avenue, for those of you in the know. A celebrity can come inside. There's tinted windows, dim lighting. You can talk business. Very good bottles of wine. Very good food. And it's like privacy as much as you can get. Well, after the Lakers were eliminated in the first round of the playoffs by Minnesota, 4 days later on May 3rd, Craig's, the restaurant, had a booth reserved for Rob Pelinka, J.J. Redick, Luka Doncic, and Lara Beth Seeger, Luka's longtime manager. Redick, Pelinka, and Seeger entered through the front. Oh, look, J.J. Redick's here with Rob Pelinka. Snap, snap, snap. And Seeger entered through the front. And I'm sorry, even if you're a NBA diehard, do we know what Luka's manager looks like off the top of her head? I don't think so. I mean, if you did, good for you. I'm looking up a picture of her right now. No, but maybe she's okay. And Luka entered through the back. All right, Luka entered through the back. But then afterwards, when they left, they all entered through the front. They all left the restaurant through the front. And Luka even stopped and signed some autographs. So it was very public in that moment that, hey, look, it's the general manager of the Lakers. It's the coach of the Lakers. And now it is the superstar of the Lakers, which is Luka Doncic. It's very interesting how this kind of happened. And we knew of the trend, like you could see it, but it didn't really feel it until the season ended and they didn't extend LeBron or they didn't offer him another 1+1. They just made him opt into his player option. The 1+1 that he's been doing is he did this in Cleveland for a while. He signs a 2-year contract, but it's been a 1+1. So it's 1 year for sure and then a player option. And so that gives him the, I guess, leeway or the upper hand to kind of put some pressure on the organization. Like, you want me to continue to be here, you got to make sure that I want to continue to be here. He would then, in the offseason, decline the player option, work out a new 2-year deal, so he'd be locked in, but then have another player option after that. And I think he thought that would continue. It did not. He had to sign his player option to be able to play for the Lakers again. Now, he could have opted out and tested free agency. He could have opted out and been a free agent. So I'll get back to that, because now everything that's going on and being said, he quickly opted in. And now for the last couple of weeks, it's been, oh, he's unhappy this, he's unhappy that. He sees that their future forward and they're kind of thinking of ways to move on from him, or thinking of at least what the next era of Lakers basketball is like. When you've had the Kareem and Wilt and then Magic and Kobe, Shaq to LeBron, the Lakers rarely don't have that superstar. When they traded for Luka, we were all so shocked and stunned and incredulous about what Nico Harrison was doing in Dallas, how you give up on the guy that got you to the NBA Finals a year ago. We were so surprised and just dismayed by that we focused a lot on Dallas. And we didn't really look at what the Lakers were doing right in front of us. They kind of went through the back door of our mind, and it's not until now, this offseason, that everything's coming out the front entrance for us all to see. This was not a move to pair up LeBron James with Luka Doncic and to try to win a title right away. This was a move to get the next face of the franchise. This was a move to build to the next era of Lakers basketball. And if you looked on that team, I mean, it wasn't going to be Anthony Davis. He's not super young, and he's been getting hurt. If he could finish a season fully, that'd be great. But he's not. You're not moving on. He's part of the LeBron era. I guess you could go Bronny James. You can move on from father to son. He bulked up a little bit. I thought he's playing some good D the other night in Summer League, but, I mean, not going to be that. So we look at Dallas thinking, how can you move on from Luka? We didn't look at the Lakers thinking, oh, they're clearly moving on from LeBron James. And we thought, oh, they're trying to strike here. They're going to have multiple years of LeBron and Luka. However long LeBron wants to play, I mean, he's 40 years old. It'll be 41. But you watch him, he still looks, not every night. Some nights he shows his age a little more than others, but really not that much. He's still one of the more dominant players in the league, and there's no signs of that waning. Looks good. Looks good, and it looks like he'll continue to look good. But what we've seen here is kind of that glass break. You know, when you have when you're a kid and you're innocent and the world's a happy place and everyone, you know. But eventually there's something that happens that's a glass break, like, oh, this place kind of scary. Not everybody means well. Some people are kind of like they are bad people. Oh, we're controlled by people behind, you know, glass breaks. And you're like, whoa, what happened here? The glass broke, I think, for a lot of us. But the glass seems to have broke for LeBron James. You know, there he was. All right, you got Luka, but you got Luka to pair him with me. And that's not what's happening. They got Luka to move on from you. Talk more about that, what could be next, and if there's regret with the move to L.A. Also, LeBron, very interesting character. We've known him for a long time. Really, we've known him for 25 years. There was the hype of him coming into the league. There was him even passing that hype. There was the stop in Cleveland, Miami, Cleveland, L.A., Olympic moments, movies, pop culture moments. We've known LeBron for a long time. And with knowing someone for a long time, you see a lot of the good, but you see a lot of the bad. So are the things that LeBron seems to be upset about now, are they things that he has a right to be upset about, or could he have made better decisions, different decisions, to continue to still have what it is he is looking for? 888-710-4ISN, 888-710-4476. We'll touch on that when we come back. This is the Bart Winkler Show.
Understanding power requires more than headlines. I'm Peter Hamby, host of The Powers That Be, a podcast from Puck examining politics, economics, and media to provide context, analysis, and clarity without sensationalism. We ask how power operates, who benefits, and what's at stake. If you want to move beyond breaking news to deeper understanding, join us on The Powers That Be. New episodes every weekday. Follow The Powers That Be wherever you get your podcasts.
It's the Bart Winkler Show podcast.
It is the Bart Winkler Show on the Infinity Sports Network. Carlos Ortiz alongside. Don't worry, everyone. I will get back into my LeBron James thoughts in a minute. Lest you think that I won't get multiple segments out of LeBron James tonight. We will. I'm gonna wrap up some LeBron thoughts coming up, and then I'm gonna let it put it in the oven for a while. I'm gonna take it out and reheat it. That's what I'm gonna do. Well, that didn't make sense. I'm going to put it in the fridge and I'll take it out. That's what I'll put it in the fridge and I'll take it out and reheat it a little bit later tonight. But I want everybody to know that I saw the new Superman movie. I saw the new Superman movie today. I saw it at noon and I enjoyed it. Now, what's interesting about me is I'm a big Marvel guy.
Whoa.
But I have not seen a DC movie. I saw the Christopher Nolan Batman trilogy, but I didn't see any of the DCEU, the Zack Snyder stuff. I didn't see any of it.
Good for you.
Now, should I watch Suicide Squad? Isn't that where
no.
they start with Peacemaker?
I heard good things about season one Peacemaker, but no, you can skip all that.
Because I got to watch Peacemaker. That's coming up for season two, and that's part of the new canon thing, right?
Do you?
Yeah, I think I do. And then this Creature Commandos show or whatever that is.
Yeah,
you watch that. So if there's a Marvel property, I mean, I Ironheart dropped a couple weeks ago. I binge that as soon as it comes out. But DC, I never kind of. But then, you know, I like James Gunn and I like what he did with Guardians. And I thought, okay, I'm going to go. And the hype was really good around it. Like people were saying, hey, we watched this movie and it's good. Then there was some weird backlash about the movie this week because of some things that James Gunn, the director writer, said in interviews, where he said Superman is an immigrant.
What do you mean by that?
I don't know. He's an alien. Of course he's an immigrant. And then like some people were mad about it, that this conversation was happening, including former Superman, Dean Cain. Dean Cain said it was a mistake to call Superman an immigrant, and it's going to hurt at the box office. Unrelated, here's a clip from when Dean Cain was Superman in Lois and Clark.
Superman, Emily Stevens with Immigration and Naturalization. We just need a quick look at your green card.
Green card.
You are an alien, are you not?
He did the storyline. So I don't know what is up with him. Anyway, why I'm bringing this up is, if you are somebody, this is the only reason I'm bringing it up. One, because I saw the movie. Two, because I need to tell you this as someone who saw the movie. Because, like I said, we stray from politics on this show. Okay? This is a sports show, and then, you know, whatever this is that's happening. But if you're someone who saw some conversation about how Superman is woke and it's another media property pushing their values on you, if you're somebody that is going to not see Superman because of that conversation, let me just tell you that that conversation happened separate with the interviews around the movie. Other than the fact that, yes, this guy is from Krypton, and that's part of the story of Superman, other than like that, there's no themes, there's no policies, there's no agendas, that none of what people were crying about all week is in the movie. There's interviews where they talk about stuff politically. You can react to that if you'd like. I'm just saying the movie itself, you're safe. It's just a movie that's about Superman, and it's a good movie. Now, if you hate aliens so much that goes to Superman, that's fine. He is an alien. He's not from Earth. So I feel like public service announcement.
Relax.
I just want you to know that what you're worried about seeing in the movie is not in the movie.
Stop it. Get some help.
And it's a good movie. So, Carlos, I like the movie.
Oh, good. I can't wait to see it on Sunday.
It does a good job. It's not like an origin story or anything. It's like 3 years into Superman being Superman. So you're kind of like, what's going on here? What's this? But they've got to like set up this new universe. And I think this movie does a good job of being like, okay, this is a Superman story, but also there's a bigger universe here, and I'm excited now to see other parts of the universe. So they had a very tough task, and I think they pulled it off. Is it a perfect movie? Are any movies perfect besides Dumb and Dumber? But it's a very, I was enjoyed quite a bit. And it was kind of like intense. Like at sometimes I'm like, oh, Jesus, Superman going to make it? They did a good job of doing that, even though he's Superman. So let me know what you think, and then we can give a more proper review on Monday.
Sure. I'm looking forward to that that segment on Monday that we will clearly do, and that will be in the rundown. but I do need to backtrack a couple of seconds here. Dumb and Dumber, that's the pinnacle for you?
The best movie ever. That, and then Not Another Teen Movie, and then Airplane.
Not Another Teen Movie is criminally underrated. That should be shown in high schools.
I agree. So good. All right. Well, again, public service announcement. That's all I wanted you to know, is if you're worried about what the movie's going to be, it's not in it. So I feel like I needed to do that today, and I did it. Back to LeBron James.
Thanks for sticking around.
I think what's, and I'll just give you a couple minutes more on this. I think what's happening here is, again, when Luka got traded to the Lakers, we looked at it as many years of Luka and LeBron playing together. But I think what the Lakers looked at it as was, we are going to, if the Dallas Mavericks don't want to build around Luka, we will build around Luka. And while watching games, it took them a while to, you know, figure out it. And I think the chemistry is why they got bounced in five in the playoffs to Minnesota. But we thought, okay, they threw them together. They got to get a big. But it's about more than that. They want to move on from LeBron James. They don't want to, like, just cut him. I'm sure if there was a trade, there could be a trade. But now a lot of teams are like, we can't take on this salary. And if we have to give up for LeBron, we're going to have to gut. So there's teams that have been interested in LeBron, but as a buyout situation. And I think where LeBron is feeling kind of slighted is he feels like the Lakers might be doing him dirty. They're saying that, oh, they're looking to the future, right? They put out that statement right away with Rich Paul, where we said, we want what's best for LeBron year in and year out. And we see that the Lakers are kind of looking towards the future a little bit. So you kind of saw that. We understand the difficulty in winning now and preparing for the future. We want to do what's best for LeBron at this stage in his career. He wants to make every season he has left count, and the Lakers understand that, are supportive, and want what's best for him. I said we've known this guy a long time, so we see some good and we see some bad. I wonder how things play out if he never left Cleveland. Not even the second time, but the first time. He's in Cleveland, and they were not winning, and I don't... If he stayed in Cleveland forever, you know, we can do some wild what-ifs with this. If he stayed in Cleveland forever, when do they win a ring? How do they win a ring? Does he get so frustrated that there's no way he stays in Cleveland? He has to go somewhere else to win a ring. He has to team up with his buddies in Miami, make a super team. He has to do it. It's the only way for him to win a ring, because if he doesn't win a ring, we're going to say, geez, man, you didn't win a ring. But would he be more likable? One guy stay in one place his whole career, would he be more likable, place where he's from? And you got to think at some point LeBron James would have won a championship. Certainly, you got to think, you're not going 20 years with LeBron James and you're not winning one title. But he wanted a ring. Rings culture. We told him he needed a ring, so he went and got a ring, and then we yelled at him for getting a ring because we didn't like the way he did it. Same with KD. Same with KD. And now LeBron's talking on his podcast. What is it called? Wine of the Week? Double entendre. Where he's like, oh, why are we embracing rings culture? It shouldn't be about that. Well, you were about that. And then he went back to Cleveland, won. I think they would have won more had they stayed together. They certainly would have won more if Kevin Durant did not do the thing that LeBron did. the Warriors to beat the Cavs had to get KD. He came after they lost. They had to get him. They weren't going to beat them. LeBron and Kyrie were going to win titles until they decided they didn't want to win titles anymore. But then the Warriors, they got back on top with Kevin Durant. And now he's gone to L.A. and he's looking for loyalty. But, you know, you're not Kobe. You're not going to get that kind of loyalty. The Lakers basically had like three terrible seasons just to let Kobe ride it out as a Laker. And now, I mean, we're all glad that they did. But LeBron came in there and kind of just like, I always felt like he came in there as a stepdad situation. But like, kind of forced himself in there, like, because there's nothing against stepdads. It's just that he wasn't really welcome by anybody else in the home. And he was kind of taking over Kobe. He was kind of playing the role of Kobe. And then he doesn't think this franchise is loyal to him. My friend, they drafted your son last year. That's about the ultimate sign of loyalty. They used an asset on your son. This is the first time ever that he's not going to be the number one guy on a team. Ever. At any point in his life. And I mean ever. I'm talking even all-star games. Team LeBron every year. Team Giannis, Team Steph, Team Durant. Team LeBron every year. Olympic team, who gets the final shots? LeBron. He's always been the number one guy. And now he's not. And so I don't think, it's not that's not going to sit right with him. I don't want to say like, oh no, he's not the number one guy. He's going to be he doesn't know what this is like. So before he can properly react, he's got to understand the situation that he's in, which it's all new to him. Again, the glass broke for him. It looked like, okay, it's LeBron and Luka. You're giving me a guy to help in my final years. And then he realizes, oh, no. It's not LeBron's team anymore. This is Luka's team, and I'm just here until I'm expendable. That's why maybe you should have opted out. Maybe you should have done something out. Now what? You're going to be a buyout candidate? So I don't know if that saga's over here. I'm not sure LeBron suits up as a Laker. Still probably. But there's a lot of questions around that. 888-710-4ISN, 888-710-4476. We'll get into our bulletin blitz coming up. Stick around because, as I told you, I want to talk about schedules. So strap in, folks. We got a good one on this Friday. Right now, let's get an update. It's Jennifer Williams.
As the U.S. men's national team takes center stage at a home World Cup, make sure you're listening to Call It What You Want, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network, where you can join me, I'm Jimmy Conrad, alongside Charlie Davies, Tony Meola, Marcelo Balboa, and Benny Feilhaber throughout this tournament for previews, instant reactions, and analysis of every U.S. match. Then all summer, we're back every Tuesday and Thursday, covering all things U.S. men's national team. Download and follow Call It What You Want on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
The biggest moments in the games.
Oh, God! Stokely down the sideline! Can they catch him? Stokely! Wow! Touchdown! Denver! Unbelievable!
The biggest voices in sports.
Cannot play with them. Cannot win with them. Cannot coach with them. Can't do it.
The heartbreak.
Touchdown! No! No! The Cardinals have knocked the Vikings out of the playoffs!
The celebrations.
And it takes the knee of the New York Giants are the Super Bowl 42 champions. And Tom Coughlin and the Big Blue erase all of their doubters. They knock off the mighty Patriots 17-14.
It's the audio of the day. It's the Bulletin Blitz.
It is the Bulletin Blitz. Congratulations, everybody. If you're listening to my voice, you made it. It is Friday, July 11th, 2025. And here on the Bulletin Blitz on the Bart Winkler Show, we get you the audio of the day that you desperately need, even if it's audio you didn't even know it existed. And this one's specifically for El Bardo. Bart, there is an update to your Miles Turner, your new favorite player, Milwaukee Buck contract. It's actually a four-year, $108.9 million deal. It's initially more than reported. He got a fourth-year player option and a 15% trade kicker. Turner spent 10 years with these Pacers and was a two-time blocks leader. So a little bump from the initial reports. And let's hear from Miles Turner on his determination to win with Milwaukee and the landscape of the Eastern Conference.
I'm more focused than ever. You know, I'm just obviously more motivated than ever. You know, getting to the very last day of the season, I'll be able to see it through. So, you know, I'm very confident in my abilities and the confidence in this roster and this group, you know, to make some things happen. You know, I mean, I've heard somebody else say, talking about the Eastern Conference this year. I mean, it's going to be an interesting season, but I got full confidence.
Well, and if you look at where the Pacers are without Halliburton, I don't know what they're going to look like. They've still got good players on that team. We know that. They just went to the NBA Finals, but Turner wants to compete, and he thinks this is a more opportunity or more. What is the word? I started the sentence wrong. Whenever I make a mistake, I never try to start the sentence over. I try to find a word that will fit. But I bailed on this one. I had to use the parachute. Anyway, there's more opportunity in Milwaukee. Alex Golden for Pacers Pod STP, setting the pace. He's just the one I saw that put it out there. He said, Turner told reporters he texted his Pacers teammates in a group chat about his departure to Milwaukee. He said a few replied back. So they're like, screw you, dude. The Bucks-Pacers rivalry is real. And this only adds a very interesting level to it. So very exciting stuff there, and interesting stuff there as well.
And congratulations to you for getting the player. It doesn't look like Giannis is going to go anywhere. So you were right all along. Let's jump back to last night's Summer League game. 87-85 was your final score with the Dallas Mavs beating the Los Angeles Lakers. Nobody really cares about that. Bronny James had 8 points on 2 of 8 shooting, 1 for 6 behind the arc. Nobody cares about that. Everyone was looking at Cooper Flagg. Well, he had 10 points, 5 for 21 shooting, 0 for 5 behind the arc, 32 minutes. But, you know, whatever, he got in. Everybody got to see the spectacle of what would be the future of the NBA, possibly, if Cooper Flagg is everything that we think it's going to be. Let's hear from Bronny James. We heard from Cooper Flagg yesterday. Let's hear from Bronny James today on playing against Cooper Flagg.
You know, he's just a quick, powerful big. So, you know, we got to do everything we can to, you know, stop him and slow him down. But he's a great player. He's going to get his at some time. So, you know, just got to do a great job and stop him down.
It's a fun matchup the other night. Bronny James, I'm telling you, Bronny James looked better than he did last year. Does that mean anything to anybody? I don't know. But he did look better than he did last year, and he looks like he bulked up a little bit, and he was playing some tough defense. This could be a rotation guy here. Who is off the Lakers first, Bronny James or LeBron James? Can't wait to find out. The NBA, it's fantastic.
Yes, fantastic. Four. Had to do it. Can't wait for that movie to come out, since we're talking about superhero movies. Let's go to another comment surfacing up on the Mind Game, a.k.a. the, what would you call it, the wine podcast?
I said wine of the week, I meant tasting wine, and then I thought, oh, double entendre there because they complain.
Very well done. It is actually called the Mind Game podcast, but it might as well be for winers. Kevin Durant, he was recently a guest with LeBron James and Steve Nash on that co-hosted podcast. One of the things that kind of resurfaced now a little bit lately, and he's doubling down, Kevin Durant taking a shot at quite possibly the greatest of all time.
You got to recommit to this game. Just like you sign a new contract, every time you get better as a player, I truly feel that you got to recommit and sign that contract with yourself mm-hmm. every so often. Like, all right, yeah, I'm 10, 12 years in, I got 4 MVPs and 4 championships. Like, but do I still want to do this? Mm-hmm, you know what mm-hmm. I'm saying?
Because you know how hard it is.
Some people say, yeah. I want to go play baseball.
Right?
Yeah. And then yeah. I want to come back. Well, some people say, I'm going to go 22 straight.
The greatest load management of our time is taking 2 years off from basketball. People don't like when I say that.
Especially when it's a White Sox. It's not really baseball.
But he, people are always like, Jordan played 82 games. But yeah, he took 2 years off. Kevin Durant and LeBron James, again, I just wonder, like, these careers without the noise, if they played in the 70s, if they played in the 80s, or if they played where we weren't so ring-obsessed, or every day has to be something to criticize where their legacy is. And then they're looking back and they're saying, you know, this, this, that. But they've made decisions based on the discourse around them. I think both players would have been one team career guys if they were born in a different era.
Hmm. That is a very fair point right there.
Especially KD.
LeBron
might have
too.
Been like, yeah. I need to win. KD would have been there forever. He would have been in Oklahoma City forever.
Yeah, I don't think honestly, I look back at KD's career and I'm shocked at how many teams that he's played for already. He's so good, but to be jumping around like that, it's very strange. This ring culture is really just destroyed a lot of things. All right, last one here, and I'm only doing this because I'm very angry. Yankees completely destroy the Cubs 11-0. Cody Bellinger is the big hero of the day. He gets 3 home runs against his former club. Really should have been 4 home runs if Kyle Tucker didn't rob him. Aaron Boone talks about Cody Bellinger's big night coming against that former club.
Yeah, it's always good to, you know, go against your old teammates that, you know, you spend a lot of time with, you know, you respect, and to perform right away against them, I'm sure probably is a little cherry on top for them.
I'm going to be talking about that NL Central here coming up. There's been plenty of things I could have talked about relating to Milwaukee tonight, and I haven't done it out of respect. But what we're seeing right now, the news that just broke, it is going to be a Milwaukee start to next hour.
Thank you for listening to The Bart Winkler Show. Listen live Monday through Friday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 Pacific.
Life can feel overwhelming, but on my podcast, From the Heart with Rachel Braithen, we're in it together. Every Friday, a new episode brings you a new story with topics on motherhood, wellness, self-love, and more. Listen to From the Heart with Rachel Braithen wherever you get your podcasts.